Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 386. Jeff Lowe, 387, Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Troll Ballins. Throwback episode. It's like the Trill episode, 20 year last. So we let you pick the movie. You picked The Mummy in honor of our favorite, Brendan Fraser. Also, we're going to do a rankings. However, you're also going to hear a first ever full on live taste test on the show. We will be Trill and I, Ken Jack, you are a little under the weather, so it's understandable. You don't want to just drink a ton of energy drinks.
I'm on like 5 total hours of sleep or less 3 days. If I had to sip one of like 15 energy drinks, even just a tasting, I'd be up until like
that's
3 more days.
Understandable. Trill and I have a lot. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 18 energy drinks. I have
it's like one land tournament worth.
3 Reigns, 4 Zoas, I have 6 Bang Energy, 2 Tritons, 1 Monster, 1 Mountain Dew Rise, 2 Monsters, 2 Rock Stars, and then a regular, like a different type of Red Bull. Cause like I'm not gonna get regular.
You know what Red Bull tastes like. Let's see. I have a Celsius, which is like the upscale energy drink.
Yeah, I passed. I've tried Celsius. I didn't need that one.
It's okay. We'll be trying it on the podcast. I got like 4 or 5 Bangs. I've got some Monsters, and then I have the OG. We both got the OG Monster, right?
The green
you have
boy.
To. That's like the
green Monster.
It's the Control.
That's the Control. Yeah, it's the Control. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see how this goes. I'm excited. I haven't tried Zoa yet, so I know you guys said it's complete ass.
It's not good.
The segment could be bad, but at least you're going to hear the nice sounds of like
you're going to hear opening. 30. How many do you have? 15.
I have 15.
You're going to hear 32 can openings.
Not many better ASMR sounds in the world than a can. That decompressing of caffeinated air or whatever. What's the air between
caffeinated,
the liquid
carbonated?
Yeah,
caffeinated
both
air.
In this case,
caffeinated
both
air is a good idea.
Yeah, they make that. No, they do make. They made a what do you call it? Caffeinated cigarettes and shit like that too. So, but whatever that air is that they use to compress. I don't know. It's nitro something, but that stuff.
Yeah.
What's going on, Ken Jack? Feeling a little under the weather.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that in the podcast? It's not Corona. You've been tested. I just want to get that
like,
out there.
The thing is, and this is what I was saying to you guys in the chat, was that I thought I was being gaslit by LabCorp, basically, because it was like 5 straight tests of them saying no Corona, and then 5 straight doctor's visits of them saying, yeah, it might be. I don't know. Let's test it again. And so I don't know. But at this point, like the last, I went to like a real doctor instead of an urgent care this time. And they said it's most likely bronchitis. So that's what I've been working with for the last few days. Now I have a lineup of like 4 different medications I've been taking in a given day, which is phenomenal stuff. I'm sure not taxing at all on the liver.
Oh, it's because you're drinking energy drinks.
Exactly. That's why I'm abstaining from that. It would turn my piss like neon.
Yeah. Even a sip might kill you.
Yeah, exactly.
A smell of a Bang might just knock you out and cause you to hit your head on your gaming chair.
I had a no caffeine headache, I think, for the last like 3 days too, because I haven't had caffeine in like 5-6 days now at all. And like just not having it really fucks up your brain habits big time. I don't know how else to explain it.
No, I agree.
Like, it's bad. I had a really bad like fiending headache, especially this morning and yesterday morning.
I've cut down on caffeine pretty significantly, and I've even cutting down have felt like I've suffered some side effects, but could also be making that up.
I drink Diet Coke every day, but I drink like I'll buy like two or three bottles a week and I'll finish like I'll finish like one and a half and it'll roll over. I just don't like it. It's there as like a little, like if I eat a meal, it's like, if I have like eight parts of a meal in terms of like eight, like a couple bites is one part. Like I'll take a sip every couple bites.
See, I don't know if Troll agrees with this, but anytime any Coke or soda product, like bottled or not, I need to consume it within that 24 hour time span or else I'm throwing it out. I can't let it sit overnight.
I agree with that. I've never been a 2 liter guy.
No, me neither.
It loses its integrity when it's been open for more than a day.
If I get a fountain soda, then I'll finish the whole
thing. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. No, that's psychopathic. Obviously. If you came back to that.
I just don't like when you get like a, you know, like a 20 ounce Coke, you open it and then you screw the cap on to save for later and you come back and there's like condensation inside.
Yeah.
I don't know, but
you know that it is no longer bussing the second you see that
certainly
condensation.
Jeff's approach to like having a soda every now and then and saving it for later is healthier than my approach of 60 ounces of soda per day.
Right up until your third heart attack.
No. I mean, that's the kidney stones. That's what's going to give me kidney stones when that does happen. I'm preparing for that day. And I'm going to be howling in pain, wondering why this is happening. And the last 25 years of drinking soda.
Exactly. Couldn't have happened to a worse guy. Just nonstop diet parpos. Died Dr. Parpos. That's a great tweet, wherever that one is.
You know, ever since I cracked that first episode one Pepsi, I was hooked.
Really? Yeah. Have you been like a full convert? I feel like we've seen you drink actually a lot of Pepsi Max.
I'm not a full convert, but I do. I mean, there's a ranking system for me, right? Like between Diet Pepsi and Diet Coke, I'll pick Diet Coke every time. Between mm-hmm. regular Coke and regular Pepsi, I'll pick Coke every time. But between Coke Zero right now, terrible what they've done to that brand.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
And Pepsi Max or Pepsi Zero Sugar, I'm a Pepsi Zero Sugar guy. It just has a good taste to it for zero calorie cola. It also has like 100 grams of caffeine in it, which isn't great. But yeah, you know, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. Take the good with the bad.
What are you going to do?
What else? We do have a lot to get to. Anything else? One of the biggest trailers we've ever talked about in the history of the show today.
Yeah, let's hit it.
We can just do that.
Just talk about the trailer. Everybody's
we have 34 energy drinks to try, so we may as well just get into it.
And I'm going to be honest, The Mummy, great movie, probably a bad pick for a discussion.
I think there's a little more to talk about probably than we're...
We'll talk about Brendan Fraser.
I think there's a legacy there with the type of movie The Mummy is and what has happened in the last 20 years.
We'll talk about our baby boy, Brendan Fraser, as well. But this episode brought to you by Manscaped. Ooh. Folks, summer's here. Couple weeks left. Summer's almost gone. Couple weeks left. If you're going to the beach, you're going away, Labor Day weekend, you want to look clean and fresh. Manscaped, that's going to be the thing for you right there. The Lawnmower 4.0, the perfect package, performance package, all of that. You get everything in there. Complement your summer bod with a trim. That's going to make sure it doesn't nick you. You're going to feel good. You're going to feel clean. It's easy. And Manscaped giving you 20% off at manscaped.com and free shipping with code LIGHTS. You're out in the sun. You want the sun to bounce off your nice shaved body. The Performance Package 4.0, you get the lawnmower trimmer, the weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, the ball deodorant, the crop preserver. You get the crop reviver ball toner, the spray. We've talked about that before. The boxer briefs, the non-chafe, and a travel bag to hold everything as well, which is great. Nice travel bag. The Performance Package 4.0, it's got everything great in there. The best below the belt trimmer there is. You don't got to worry about it. It's got that advanced skin safe technology. You don't got to worry. Like I'm going to rip my sack open. Don't got to worry about that.
I've historically been very much worried about that.
It's an incredibly justified worry for a man.
Exactly. Don't want to come out like a little meatball came out of your pants.
You know,
or even
by the way, speaking of that joke, I did finally I told you guys this, but I rewatched.
It's so good. That's
I rewatched all of I Think You Could Leave. And I did like it. I don't know if it was just the state of mind I was in when it first came out. I don't know. Like, and there's some duds, but I did like it because it never made sense that I didn't like that show. Because it's just, and I said, I think you could leave. And I obviously mean, I think you should leave, but Tim Robinson's humor is very much in my wheelhouse of shit that I laugh at. Like as a Tim and Eric fan, it's really dumb humor. It's noises. It's the way they pronounce, like he pronounces things and says things and speaks. So I don't know why I didn't like connect with it the first time, but I watched it on my flights, like in full. And it's just a pink bag on my chair. It's just like, it's just,
pink bag
it's just funny. And I don't get why.
Like in that one where you guys like, I need to go back to my family photo. My face can't be beat. Yeah. Right? Like family photo is just like such a dumb, but hilarious thing to bring up. In a,
it just so is good. Proof that comedy is one of those things that I, you know, got to give it a second try now and then. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's just not, sometimes it's you, it's not what you just watched. And it's rare, but it happens now and then. That was because I was in tears for a lot of it. Anyway, they'll rip your fucking sack open. So get the performance package 4.0. I got everything in there. 20% off free shipping with code LIGHTS, LIGHTS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off free shipping with the code LIGHTS at manscaped.com. Look good and fresh for the last 2 weeks of summer. Gotta get this. And now I'm in my fucking apartment where I'm very allergic to something. And I have a deep cleaning happening in my apartment. And so my coughing was bad the other day. It could get bad today. News, though. Probably the biggest trailer. Well, no, not the biggest. Top five biggest trailer, easy, that we've ever talked about on the show. It's Spider-Man No Way Home. The teaser dropped. It leaked the other day. It leaked an unfinished version.
I think it was a fake version leaked on TikTok.
It was real.
The one that was on the TikTok one?
Yeah, it was real because it was all this shit. It wasn't in full, but it was an unfinished VFX version. And it leaked like onto a like TikTok, and then it was like a video of that video. It was crazy. Blew up. If anything, it forced Sony's hand because CinemaCon was today. I don't know if yesterday. I don't know. And when I mean yesterday, recording on Tuesday, CinemaCon was Monday. I don't know if they ever intended to release it right away, but their hand was forced. They had to do it, and they released it. And basically, I don't think the three of us ever had any doubt it would be a Spider-Verse movie, but anyone who may have, doubt's gone. You saw Alfred Molina, Doc Ock. You saw the skeleton or pumpkin bomb, whatever you want to call it, from the Green Goblin. Obviously, Willem Dafoe back as Norman Osborn. You saw a lot of lightning, yellow lightning. Jamie Foxx back as Electro. Some teases, maybe, to the Sandman as well. Also, the Lizard. So a lot of older characters. Then maybe even Matt Murdock. Did we see Daredevil leaning over Peter Parker when he was thrown in jail? Mm. Crazy trailer. He rips what open the think? Multiverse. Do I think it's him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Matt Murdock. I'm pretty confident it is. There's been fairly every rumor with this movie's pretty much been confirmed true, and he's been rumored for a while to be in it, which is cool, which is awesome. And then the last thing to kind of explain what happens here, maybe you haven't seen it or if you don't know what's happening, it is pulled from comics. Doctor Strange conjuring up a spell to get people to forget that Spider-Man, or that people know Peter Parker, Spider-Man, and that's kind of the whole thing. And then Parker kind of argues with him about like who can remember what. And who should remember what, and why can't this person remember something? And it rips open the multiverse. So we see actually the trailer already. It rips it open. So my question for you guys, and you can give comments on it though. I see some people say they showed too much. I actually don't think they did at all. I actually think it was rather tame. Like we knew that, like maybe for some people didn't know that these characters were in it, but I think we figured it was gonna be a multiverse movie. So like you show it getting ripped open, you get the plot. Now, I hope they don't show more in the next one. I actually don't ever want to see the Spider-Man except in the movie. But what do you think? Was there too much in this trailer already?
I think we got a lot in terms of the plot. Like I can definitely see the criticism there because it was a pretty big trailer in terms of taking you from like the setup to the Doctor Strange thing into like, you know, what had happened. But I think it has to do that in order to get you there and get people hyped with the trailer for like what everybody's really excited for is it's our beautiful cameos. Mm. That is that's what people are going to get stoked about. And Alfred Molina is one thing, but it basically implied that Tobey Maguire, confirmed that Tobey Maguire is going to be in the movie, which I think we already kind of like believe that to be true, because why would Alfred Molina say, "Hi, Peter"? They got to be talking to Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man, in that scene. Because why would he recognize Tom Holland as Peter Parker? Unless, you know, something else happens, which is quite possible.
I don't have the answer to your question, but I do think that that's a strong indicator. I think that this trailer showed less than the leaked version on TikTok that I watched woefully against my will. Very much with my will, actually. But I thought it was a good trailer. And teased, I think, just enough to get us all interested for those of us that, like, The regular comic book movie fans that don't pay attention to this shit are probably like, their minds are getting blown by this sort of stuff that's happening here. And throwbacks to all these old characters. The de-aging on Molina looked a little bizarre at first, but like, they're just something they're going to have to do. Just the nature of the beast here. I can't wait to see more of you're muted, Jeff. I can't wait to see more of,
I was like, that's a side effect of making a movie. How many years after?
20 years after.
Pretty much 20 years, yeah.
Exactly. It's just the nature of the beast there. I'm excited to see a little bit of Willem Dafoe, Jamie Foxx as well. I was just watching actually a video behind the scenes of Spider-Man 2 where it was Willem Dafoe came for a set visit and he like put on the Doc Ock like arm set and did like a Shakespearean monologue while Molina came back on set. It was like very just funny and just like charming. And I like these guys getting a chance to get back into this universe. It makes me happy. And I like to see a little bit of, you know, nostalgia play stuff. And I'm curious what the Strange play is here, because everyone keeps saying like, oh, that's not Doctor Strange. He's actually making a deal with Mephisto there and he doesn't know it or something like that. I'm not getting into the Mephisto rumor mill again. We already bet on that and lost once, so I'm not going to do it again. But I will say that something's up with Strange, obviously.
It does line up with a comic storyline involving Doctor Strange and Mephisto. So, yes, that's the character I thought was in WandaVision. There's been a lot of devil teases. So I think it's clear we will see Mephisto at some point. I don't know if we're going to see it yet. And I don't, whatever at this point. By the way, the first footage for Matrix 4 just debuted at CinemaCon. If that drops during this, we will watch it live. I don't think it will. And that goes with stuff for the Batman. So we will keep an eye on that because that's happening right now. But people seem to say the Matrix Resurrection said the shit's really cool. So
do you think they'll have to de-age Willem Dafoe?
Well, I mean, have him in the helmet, at least. Like, Doc Ock doesn't have a helmet, unfortunately.
Yeah, but like he looks like noticeably younger in the Spider-Man, but like even then he was in his 40s and he still looked like Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, like, well, he's had the same old guy face for like 20 years straight. Yeah,
that's what I'm just trying to be polite about.
Yeah, that. But there's no way you're just beating around the bush of what everyone's thinking.
Which, like, by the way, it's like I wouldn't say it's even an old guy face. I would just say it's like a very distinguished, like handsome, chiseled face.
Sure, let's go with that. He's a very, very rugged face. And I mean that in a good way. The amazing actor.
In the best possible way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, but I agree.
I'm trying to find a tweet I saw today. Someone had a really good fucking tweet. And I can't find it about the debate between it. Anyway, in the comic One More Day, I'm reading this from Marvel Facts and News. Peter seeks out Doctor Strange to travel back in time to save Aunt May and prevent the public from finding out he's Spider-Man. He ends up making a deal with Mephisto, who erases his bear to MJ from history, along with everyone knowing he's Spider-Man. So yes, that does happen. Are they adapting One More Day? I don't know. I think this is a thing where I think there's going to be a lot of different things. And speculate if you want. I think just have fun with it as well. I think that's like the main thing. Like I this is the most excited I've been for a movie probably since Endgame. Definitely since Endgame. And it's a blast. It's just fucking cool. It could stink. Who knows? Maybe it doesn't work. But the idea that this is happening, this like live action Spider-Verse, is it's pretty awesome. I'm excited.
I did think from the standpoint, going back to your question, is like, yeah, I think they showed a lot, but they did what they needed to do. They also didn't show, you know, didn't show everything they could have. So I think there was restraint there in what they showed in the trailer. I thought it was well done. It looked cool. It got me excited about it for probably the first time. I mean, I've been excited about it, but it's mostly just been on the casting intrigue, and I'm a sucker for the cameos or the Spider-Man
slop.
Yeah, the Spider-Man slop of my youth and whatnot. But this looks neat. And even from the standpoint of like when they're on the trains and the different trains are spiraling around it, it looked kind of cool. I thought that the stuff it looks visually entertaining, as a movie should, fellas.
Especially a Marvel movie. Give us that good slop, baby. We're all just pigs slopping on that fucking good feed. And that good feed is just, it specifically comes from Marvel.
Well, you also got to think, right, that like, what is the MCU's new like Banner movie? Or I guess their new, like Banner's one thing, but like, it used to be, I
the
feel,
Hulk.
they could go back to the Hulk, but it was well, like,
at least the Hulk is literally their Banner movie.
Oh god damn, I didn't even get that. See, this is why I have to step off the podcast, because I've like I'm just getting pelted by you with these things. And that was good. But like, you know, it was Iron Man and then Captain America, but then everything just kind of blended into each other, where like if you're getting a Captain America movie, you're basically getting like a mini Avengers movie to some extent. You know, I think Spider-Man's, it's weird because of the whole Sony thing, but now that it's been just merged with the MCU and going that direction, it seems like this is kind of it. Like, this is the big movie, Jeff. I don't know, like, your perception of it. Like, you know, they got all these other things they're trying to do, and I'm excited for that, Shang-Chi and whatnot. But this seems like the next big one, like probably the biggest one post-Avengers, right?
Yeah, I don't even think it's close. But the crazy thing is that this is going to come out right before we get Doctor Strange, which also seems to have pretty crazy implications in it. I mean, if all this shit with Doctor Strange is happening, I mean, that movie has to be big. Like, there's just no two ways around it. So pretty fucking cool. Pretty neat. That's what I'll say about that.
We'll just say, you know, Peter Parker got a little more than he wished for in the trailer.
Yeah, you'd say so.
Well, that's the way I would tease it if I was the guy doing
the byline,
the 90s voiceover. It's like, Peter Parker was a normal kid who got a little more than he wished for. Not everybody needs to forget me, right? What about MJ? Peter Parker in Spider-Man. I don't know.
Yeah.
Forgot to say the actor's name. It's actually Tom Holland.
It would have worked.
I can't find this fucking tweet. But anyway, the point is I guess there was an actual debate when they were writing the story about the spell that pulls Peter Parker into, like, does MJ remember? Who remembers? And I guess like that debate is like literally what they put in the movie. It's the idea that like, you know, who remembers, like, back and forth. So that's like the debate you saw, you know, Peter having with himself. Ooh. And the tweet is like, now it's in the movie. It's like literally one of the people who wrote the comic said that. So that was kind of cool to see.
We have the first title I just saw for Matrix 4. You see that? Resurrections.
Yeah, I said it. Yeah. Resurrections. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But I thought you just said,
did we part. Know that?
No,
it just sounds so familiar to the other two. Was it Revelations and Reloaded?
It's Reloaded and
I think that might have been like a leaked title, because I feel like we fucking tweeted that.
Did we?
We did. Yeah, we tweeted it on January 30th.
No, we must have gotten the leaked one.
The fourth Matrix movie. Yeah, I guess we did.
Just like when we posted, like every other major news corporation, whatever the fake title was for No Way Home. Because like they all leaked the 15 different versions,
right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's Spider-Man. God, show us the trailer. Give us a live trailer. Come on.
Of the Matrix.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't
know. Are you watching a stream?
No, there's no stream of
CinemaCon.
This. CinemaCon, you don't always see the trailers like that. That's why this, it's, it was, I mean, the leak definitely forced Sony and Marvel's hands. Like, I mean, that's definitely what happened. That's that. Moving on. We'll do another ad read because then it's not as much news. Nomad Goods, folks. Nomad was a Kickstarter project back in 2012. They're building rugged minimalist tools for the 21st century nomad, as they say, out of Santa Barbara, which makes sense. They mobile accessories, all that good stuff. I'm using the fucking, not just mobile, I'm using right now the mouse pad. We got to try out a ton of Nomad Goods. I'll tell you what, I went back and bought a shitload more.
I got their phone case on right now.
I got leather phone case.
Hear that good clap? I'm not clapping cheeks, folks. That's me clapping together the case of my Nomad iPhone case. And I got the charger right next to me. It's like one of those legit iPhone fast chargers. It's so good.
I think I got a Nomad AirPods case.
Did you? Oh.
Well, actually, it's AirPod Pro, fellas.
No.
Those fall out of my ears.
I got to have the noise canceling when I'm listening to my AirPods.
They have a nice laptop holder. There's some wallets. I got a thing for my AirTags, which is pretty cool. It was a little trendier thing that I had going there. Nomad Goods, really cool. Like I said, rugged, awesomely crafted things. Kevlar outer sheath. You got a Kevlar outer sheath?
Fucking phone is bulletproof, dude. Don't quote me on that.
Was sheath in your laptop?
I guarantee that.
Like a laptop sheath?
They're telling me to say this.
I need to see this sheet.
Metal alloy connector housing. Nomad cables are great as well. Their company, they're all about design and quality. That's why it's simple, but it's also like elegant looking. Again, very minimalist 21st century stuff. Great leather from Chicago. Climate neutral as well. Check out Nomad, NOMAD at nomadgoods.com. nomadgoods.com/life to see what living the old nomad life is like. nomadgoods.com, nomadgoods.com/lights. Awesome products top to bottom, all around.
They have universal cables, which are nice. I have one of them where they like caps for the cables and you put it on, and that way you can just carry one cable instead of a USB-C and a Lightning and a micro USB. You got them all in one thing.
Exactly.
It's nice.
Moving on, more news. First look images at the Cowboy Bebop series from Netflix have been released.
It's a thing with Cowboy Bebop, and I tweeted this right after they came out. There's no way that you have a live action adaptation of an anime and you release a first look and people aren't going to shit on it. There's just no way. There's no way you're going to make the fans of it happy. I think I don't give a shit about any of the first looks or any of that until we see a trailer or until we see the actual footage of how this is going to look. Because that's all that really matters here. It doesn't matter what just still images do. They do nothing for me here.
Yeah. It's always jarring whenever something, not even anime, but just something animated gets put into live action. And, you know, part of the fun is going in and making the comparison, but it certainly is striking in this case, just because Cowboy Bebop has a certain style, as a lot of animation and anime, you know, shows and movies do, that it's like kind of the reason you watch them is because they can break the laws of, you know, live action with it, right? Like in terms of like apparel or in terms of like hairstyles or action, it's like you like it because it is animated. And I don't always necessarily get the drive to take something that was anime and say, well, or animated or anime and say, well, we got to do something live action with it now. And I think like it's just trying to get it to appeal to a larger audience that might like be a little more resistant towards animation, or just in general to, you know, take a previously existing IP and capitalize on that. So I'm always hesitant when that's done. But that being said, I thought the promotional shots were fine. I'm with you, Jack. We don't know enough. We don't know what it looks like in motion. And I'm willing, just because it is Cowboy Bebop, and I like everybody involved with the show, I'm willing to give it a very big chance. Not even a big chance. The benefit of the doubt. Like I'm going to be chill about the way I approach this.
Mm-hmm. again, and that comes from two people who are huge fans of Cowboy Bebop, like massive, massive fans. It's going to come down to, I think, in a huge way, the music, and in a second way, how they stylize the action of it, because like that is just such a huge part of it. And also, I don't know if you noticed this, but there's no Edward, who I guess wasn't cast for this, and he's probably not going to be part of this for whatever reason. So I don't know if that's good or a bad thing, but got the dog, got Spike. I think I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, it's... I get the feeling that they're the main, and I'm going back because it's been 20 years since I watched it. I had all the VHS tapes, and it's one of my favorite series of all time. But there was a, you know, there was a continuity to the show. I mean, it was a serial in some episodes, and then others were a lot of standalone episodes that had no actual connection to the plot. And those for me were always the most enjoyable. But I have a feeling that those are going to be stripped out and they're probably just going to hit the major plot beats, which is why the reason they can get away with not having Ed in the series, maybe. But I don't know.
Yeah. Plus, Ed is like freakishly athletic in the series because it's an anime and they always have that kid insertion. And I don't think you could just do that with a real kid. It just wouldn't work out. But excited for it regardless. Going to wait until we see the trailer to have a critical evaluation.
And, you know, a little bit of Bebop trivia. Ed is a girl.
Mm-hmm. They usually have like
you said he. I'm sorry. I'm just
well, it's ambiguous characters across all anime. I don't know if that. I mean, maybe it's supposed to be interpreted differently, but I don't know.
Another trailer, The Morning Show, season two, which
I can't wait. This, you know, I've always talked about this show on the podcast being one of my favorite shows. I love this show. It's gotten so many awards that I've known about, and I'm just got to say, Jeff, go ahead, but I'm stoked.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to watch it again. I take it with a grain of salt. I worked in morning TV, as everyone who listens knows. So I have like that weird connection to it, but I think if you step back, I just don't think it's very good. It had an incredibly fucking heavy ending to the last, like very heavy ending. So I'm curious how they move on from that. Steve Carell's back, Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon back, the two of the biggest contracts in the history of television/streaming. They added Will Arnett.
That took me by surprise in this trailer because you heard the Arnett voice first. And you're like, is that Will Arnett? That's got it. I mean, who else could that voice belong to?
Yeah.
And it was.
Look, it had its moments, but it was not that compelling. It was dramatic for the sake of the fact that the subject matter was very fucking heavy. They tackle coronavirus, but like, yeah, in the trailer, like, we got to do the COVID story. It's like, ugh. All right. Like, which is, you know what that's very much like? That's very newsroomy. That's very newsroomy. Like,
true.
Like,
yeah.
Retroactive discussions about something that happened.
Which
is kind of why The West Wing was so good, in my opinion, because it was fake stuff. It was real in a sense where some of it was relatable, even though the election was eerily similar to the 2008 election that happened in the show before the 2008 election. But, like, it wasn't real stuff. It was based on some real things. But, like, when you start, like, pulling in real shit, I don't know, it starts to get a little preachy and not in a very, intriguing way to me. I'll watch it. Billy Crudup is very good in the show. That's the one thing I'll say. Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon are fine. Billy Crudup is like fucking awesome in this show. And he's my number one reason to watch it. So
I will say that giving it a second season makes me want to watch the first season more because they're committed to it. Now this is going to be a thing. Well, and now
I think they committed to both of them at the same time, if I remember correctly. Like they scheduled the two seasons at the same exact time.
That makes sense. And I mean, there really was never a doubt that they were going to make a second season, right?
Yeah. And the money tied up in this is bonkers.
It's like $300 million something dollars, right?
Well, yeah, it's, I mean, even when you remove it from the show itself, it is like Apple is making a splash as a banner. I keep going to the banner thing, but this is a banner show for Apple Plus with a bunch of big names attached to it, and they are committed to it. But the second season is kind of like, it makes me want to watch it more now that I know I'm going to have more episodes to watch. Right. So I'll probably give it a chance. It is kind of funny that like all the money dumped into this, and I'm not saying Ted Lasso is cheap to make or anything, but how Ted Lasso has taken off and become like probably the Apple TV Plus show. Mm-hmm. And this one was intended to be that, and it may still be. I'm sure this show has like a lot of fans and a lot of people that follow it just because it is a rather big show, but it never really, I never really made it a priority. I can't explain to you why, other than the fact that I would rather watch season two of the shit like Altered Carbon.
Yeah.
And just
yeah.
completely pollute my brain with just crap like that than like watch a prestige drama.
Takeshi Kovacs back in the flesh. I'd much rather watch them make like Netflix pump $40 million into that than to watch Apple TV make, and this costs like $300 million. Is this $300 million worth of entertainment? I don't think so. I don't think it's even close to that. But I think I agree with you guys in that it has its moments of entertainment, and it's nothing to do with really any of the cast as so much. I think they just kind of threw all these people together and they said, hey, look, we got one big topic we can talk about, and we have three huge names attached to it and some good side players. Let's just see what we can do. And they should have, I think, sat down and maybe plotted this out a little bit more and maybe given it more thought beyond just, we know we can get a lot of views with this. But other than that, I mean, sure. It was predestined. They already had the second season on demand or in production or whatever. They already had it bought. So it was going to be made regardless.
You know, I'm a big fan of who was in the news, not the newsroom, the morning show, a little guest role, Mike O'Malley.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love a good Mike O'Malley pop up.
He's very good in short doses.
Oh, I don't know. I loved him on Guts, man. I felt like he was my brother when I was watching Guts, and it was him and Mo on the show, Maureen, right? And so when he popped up on Glee, I was ecstatic. But even on other things, like I think he was in Justified.
Sully,
yeah.
So he's the showrunner on Heels. That's why, because it's like, why do we just remember him recently? Because is he the showrunner on Heels? Is he? Fuck, is that the same Mike O'Malley?
Mike O'Malley?
Because I was thinking, like, we got offers of something with Mike O'Malley. I guess it was. So he had been, he's the showrunner on Heels, that new show that our good friend Michael Waldron made. And it's very, very good. It's very, very, very good. So whatever that's worth. If you're interested in wrestling or you're not, you just like good drama, that's out on, I believe, Showtime.
Shout out to Mike O'Malley.
Big shout out.
Mike O. Jake Gyllenhaal will star and produce a film with the adaptation of the comic series Oblivion Song from the same writer, Robert Kirkman, who did The Walking Dead and Invincible, supernatural science fiction story that chronicles Nathan Cole, a man who makes daily trips to try and rescue those still living in the apocalyptic hellscape of Oblivion, a part of Philadelphia lost a decade ago, along with 300,000 of its citizens.
Oblivion Song should just be a whole show about the actual soundtrack to Oblivion, which is fantastic. Both the movie and the game, The Elder Scrolls Oblivion. The movie with Tom Cruise, where they have that M83 song, which is a banger. Very, very good song. But also, different M83 song. It's like M83 featuring someone else, which is very good. And again, Elder Scrolls Oblivion, I think it's Jeremy Soules does the soundtrack for Elder Scrolls, but also I think he did something bad recently. But he did the soundtrack on Oblivion, and it's phenomenal. That's all I can say.
This sounds cool. I like anything with like an apocalyptic setting to it. I like those types of things. So I'm excited. Jake Gyllenhaal, right? Like, we'll see. I mean, like, he's fine. He's proven, right? Like, there's nothing you can really say about Jake Gyllenhaal at this point to say, like, I really doubt Jake Gyllenhaal can do it.
He's got duds on his record.
He does, but he's, you know,
especially in the blockbuster category.
I'm not saying it's a risk, but I'm like also not saying it's not like one of those names. Like, you're never like, I'd really doubt Jake Gyllenhaal can pull this off. If it's done right, he can do really well at it.
Yeah, but if something's done right, almost anyone can do too well in it, you know.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to get super technical about it, I agree. Yeah, we should just
Make me heck out of lung.
Just put Mike O'Malley here.
Yeah, that's the point of this riff, is that Mike O'Malley needs to be involved in more stuff. Throw him in Oblivion or other post-apocalyptic stuff, which I started Fear the Walking Dead recently because I tailed off of The Walking Dead, which I'm sure a lot of people have.
But I was like, you know what? I hear Fear the Walking Dead is pretty good. It's all right. At best, it's not that good.
I never watched a single episode of The Walking Dead.
No, dude, the
I
don't first think few seasons of Walking Dead are pretty minute. Fucking good.
You already know what I watch. I only watched The Talking Dead.
Yeah, with Chris Harrison.
No.
What's his name?
Chris Harrison? What's Chris Hardwick.
That's close. And you acted, you can't took, give up
the former Bachelor guy. Yeah, and then you just like
who does a very similar name. Talk show job.
Yeah, former, Chris Hardwick. That's fair.
Former Charger legend both, and Purdue both? Legend, Nick Hardwick hosts yeah. the show.
Both yes. pulled off their shows at one point. So
yes, also true. See, that's why you see the confusion here. It wasn't that crazy. The brain was on almost all full synapses there. But
who's your yeah. football legend? Nicholas Hardwick.
Hey, Nick Hardwick is a great center. Again, like you said, Purdue legend, Charger legend.
He slimmed down so much too.
Dude, even just between the time that he retired and announced his retirement, like on the Chargers, he lost like 50 pounds.
Did you see, by the way, Trill, that Purdue Pete was named the creepiest mascot in the country the other day?
I did. I think I saw it on the Reddit where I was like, yeah, just browsing yeah. the Reddit. And then it said that. And I felt it's not surprising, but also it's good. It's good. Any publicity is good publicity for Purdue.
That's true.
So,
uh-huh.
It was good. You know, getting the Purdue name out there. People are like, wow, where's that school? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we mentioned the shirt that I bought you. I purposely spelled Purdue wrong among many other things on that shirt.
we did. And that shirt, I keep meaning to wash it, then wear it. Cause I'm a big wash yeah, clothes guy too. Before wearing.
Also, speaking of Apple TV Plus, by the way, go watch Coda.
Yes. Please
very
do.
Good. Very good movie. I'm fucking am for Candyman, by the way. Very
me too. It's great review so far.
Yeah, really good. Speaking of reviews, last thing, Shang-Chi. We saw the movie. We reviewed it. Ken Jack, you gave it an 88. I gave it an 85 out of 100. Not much more to say. I don't want to spoil anything.
Let's go.
The part that sucks is when you see people tweeting stuff, like there's been a bunch of Marvel debate over the past few days, and I just see stuff getting brought up, and I just want to say things that happen in Shang-Chi so bad to counterpoint stuff, like, but you can't do it. No spoilers.
Sucks. I'm excited to talk about Shang-Chi. There's a lot to go off of, not just for the movie, but for the MCU, and it'll be a fun one to talk about. Anyway. Oh wait, is this news about Fantastic Beasts?
Oh hell yeah!
No news about Fantastic Beasts or Black Adam, according to Beatrice Vero.
Actually, kind of excited to see Mads Mikkelsen, right? He's replacing in Fantastic Beasts. Yes. I kind of want to see that. I want to see that.
Oh yeah,
Mr. Potter. I don't know why Mr. Potter's not involved in this, but
I can't wait to see the continuing adventures of. Hold on.
Can you imagine somebody explaining Harry Potter lore to Mads Mikkelsen?
No, not
he's
a
like,
chance.
Okay, well, look. Go ahead, Jeff.
I can't wait to see the continued adventures of Newton Artemis Fido Scamander and his friend.
Jake Kowalski.
His friend Josh Gad.
No, Jake Kowalski. His love interest, Porpentina Esther Scamander Goldstein.
Did they get married?
I guess they get married. Did they at the end of the last movie? Where's
no.
Jacob? What's Jacob's full name? Don't fucking tell me this guy has a long ass name. He's a regular guy.
He's just
Jacob
a regular
Kowalski.
Dude.
Okay, I would have been furious.
Jacob Kowalski died of tuberculosis off screen.
Porpentina.
Between movies. That's a tough one. I don't think they ever refer to them by their full with middle name things during the movie, though.
No, they don't. They don't.
I think I saw David Yates actually signed on to direct something recently, and he hasn't done like almost anything since Harry Potter.
He did Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah, well, I'm saying I got sort of the Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, universe.
He's like, oh, I'm done with this shit. He's like, enough is enough. I did see that as well. Yeah, so that's news, I guess. Anything else on news?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, shout out David Yates. Get out of the world.
The Mummy. It's on HBO Max if you want to watch it. Came out in 1999. Brendan Fraser, Rachel Weisz. whose star has only risen since this movie. 2 hour long movie, made $415 million at the box office. Part of two universes, the Mummy universe, which has The Mummy Returns, The Scorpion King, The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. And then, of course, The Mummy with Tom Cruise. Also part of the Dark Universe, which has a lot of old movies. And then The Wolfman, The Mummies, Dracula Untold, Scorpion. You know, it depends on how you want to. I like to say the Dark Universe is all these movies, because I want the Dark Universe to live on forever. The Invisible Man. And then all again, the old ones, Bride of Frankenstein, Phantom of the Opera, Frankenstein, Dracula, all those movies. So the worst of the bunch, definitely The Mummy with Tom Cruise, a fucking horrible movie. For those who maybe don't remember what The Mummy's about, it's about our goodest of good adventure boys. Dashing legionnaire Rick O'Connell stumbles upon hidden ruins while in the midst of a battle to claim the area in 1920s Egypt. It's been over 3,000 years since the events that we go through this movie have taken place. As High Priest Imhotep suffered a fate worse than death, blah, blah, blah. Punishment for forbidden love, yada, 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 along with a curse that guarantees eternal doom upon the world if he is ever awoken. And sure enough, what happens, folks? The Mummy. Rotten Tomatoes. Do you know what the Rotten Tomatoes score on The Mummy is? Take a stab.
I guess not high.
Probably 55.
65.
I mean, you guys kind of split the difference there. You're gonna obviously be pretty close. It's 61.
I was closer though, so Trill loses.
75% from the audience. 61% approval rating. It's difficult to make a persuasive argument for The Mummy as any kind of meaningful cinematic achievement, but it's undeniably fun to watch. That's the critic consensus. And you know, I'll tell you what, that's a fairly decent review. That's a fairly decent critic consensus, because yes, it's not groundbreaking. However, I will say this, The Mummy now, and I don't remember The Mummy, seeing The Mummy. I remember watching it when I was younger, but I remember it wasn't like a moment or anything, right? Like, I was just like, oh, that's an awesome, that was a fucking awesome movie. The Mummy now, I think you could argue, it's not monumental, it's not like a majorly cultural impactful movie, a little more important of an aura, right, in the movie world these 12 years later, because it's an adventure, it's an action adventure movie that a lot of movies try to be. Now, most action adventure movies try to be Indiana Jones, right? That's always going to be the comp. But you get a lot of movies, people say, oh, they're trying to recapture the fun of The Mummy. The Mummy was, as Rotten Tomatoes says, undeniable fun. I have it at a 73. Rewatched it today. I'm sticking with that score. I haven't rewatched it in a while. Kendrick, you had it an 81 on movierankings.net. Go there now. Look, score's not going to change. It has its faults for what it is. It's nothing groundbreaking. It's a corny fucking movie, but goddamn, is it not a fucking, just a lot of fun to watch. It's a turn your brain off, fun action adventure movie. And Trey, I'll let you start because you picked it after me, because I already said a lot. But I do think that critics consensus was spot on about some things, but also I would you agree? I think it's actually more impactful now, 12 years later.
12 years?
22 years later.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Close enough.
When you said that the first time, I was like, I missed a part of the conversation.
22 years later.
Oh, no. So let me try to write an article without writing an article, and I'm not going to cite any sources or anything like that, but I'm just going to give you my perspective of remembering The Mummy, and maybe also draw in some blanks where I'm thinking the initial critic response was maybe skewed by something. And I feel like what it was skewed by is that The Matrix was released on March 31st, 1999, and The Mummy came out May 7th, 1999. So both are action movies released within 2 months of each other in 1999. And The Matrix pretty much revolutionized at the time special effects, the way, you know, what people thought about action movies. It was an elevated action movie with a sci-fi concept that people really dug. It was a little brainier than your average action movie, and you know, had some, I think it was a little smarter than what audiences had been used to, and that's okay. And I'm not saying it's like a you know, we the Matrix is what the Matrix is. I remember watching it, and as like a 15-year-old or whatever, I'm kind of like, whoa, it like blew your mind. And that was like, you know, I remember that. And then The Mummy comes out, and The Mummy is a pretty standard action movie, and it's pretty campy. It doesn't take itself too seriously, but it's a lot of fun. And I feel like The Mummy kind of maybe suffered from this, not only from like a critical standpoint, but also what people wanted at the time. But reviewing it 20 years later, especially in the aftermath of, and this is not a slight at The Matrix, right? I think The Matrix is brilliant. I love The Matrix. But I think in the aftermath of the 2017 Mummy and the debacle that that was, headed by Tom Cruise, tying in the Dark Universe and that basically crashing and burning the entire Dark Universe because the movie, it took itself too seriously, except for the Jake Johnson character who was added in for comic relief. And the tone just wasn't right for what it should have been. And then you go back to the original Mummy and it was perfect. It was just a very fun action movie with a very cool score, like a very great like chemistry between the main characters and like an awesome lead man. And sometimes that's like leading, you know, actor, actress, but sometimes that's all you really need out of these types of movies. And watching this again, it is like, I'm not going to give this movie a 95, but I will say for this particular genre of movie in this particular time, it makes me very nostalgic for something like this. And I think you get flashes of it here and there, but it is like drinking liquid nostalgia and you're kind of just like, it is, it's really fun to watch.
You guys keep calling it action and you're right, but I also think it's important to distinguish that. I think it's action adventure, which I think is the big subgenre that both this and like an Indiana Jones fall under, because I think that one thing that this movie does really well is the adventure, right? Because that's the thing that compels you so much, not only as like a kid when you watch it or whatever. It's like, I'm like 6 years old when this comes out. Jeff, your boy, like 8 years old when this comes out. I don't know how old you were, but like, it's like the adventure.
32.
the adventure is like all encompassing. Like everyone can get behind that and want to see an adventure go through to its conclusion. That's why movies like National Treasure, which came out in that same period, like that stuff is so enthralling to people. And I think that this movie holds such a special part in our place and everyone's hearts. And I honestly think that the reason for that is that it's arguably one of the most likable movies that you'll ever watch. And part of that's to do with just Brendan Fraser, Rachel Weisz, Odette Fehr, John Hannah, and like all of the cast, they're so likable, and they each deliver a perfect performance to the character. And on top of that, I think the key to this movie being so good, and I'm sticking to my score of 81, by the way, is that it just has the perfect distribution of stuff. And I think that you can break that down to it having an extremely lovable himbo protagonist in Rick O'Connell, which you've broken down his himbo qualities many times. But he's got shit for brains, but a heart of gold, and he's got looks to match. And he's just, he has never and can never lose a fight. And you get like the dancing monkey in Benny. You always need comic relief, dumb guy. And that little Hungarian fool just makes me laugh. He does it for me. He does it for everyone. And she doesn't know she's beautiful girl combined with a smart person. Those two tropes into one person. Like an insanely attractive girl that somehow is not cognizant of that fact. And neither is anyone else until she just takes off her glasses and everyone's like, holy shit, this is actually like an amazingly attractive human. And then you get also the con man in Michael Hanna, which he fits perfectly, a completely one-dimensional bad guy and a great soundtrack. And I think that that is the perfect distribution of stuff for an action adventure movie.
I need to give you big kudos for making it through that, being that sick, because I could feel where a lesser person might just break down into a coughing fit and you withheld.
It was scratching like you would not fucking believe. And I muted to take a giant swig out of my gallon jug.
The adventure part's perfect. And Jeff, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to dominate the conversation, because what this movie had that sometimes I feel like, even like the 2017 Mummy, where you just didn't care when the characters were talking, even in the downtime,
it wasn't
scenes,
fun.
Yeah. But even the downtime scenes where they're at the camp and they're talking, or like, you know, when they're having, there's a lot of conversations in this movie, which is like kind of what surprised me rewatching it. Like when I remember it, I remember the airplane and the dust flying up, but there's a lot of back and forth between the main characters. And that's the most charming part of the movie that actually works really well, just with the chemistry of the main characters themselves. Where you go to the 2017 Mummy, and like every conversation between the Jake Johnson character and the Tom Cruise character is just, it feels like it was created in a laboratory.
Yeah.
And this just feels like somebody knew what they were doing when writing these characters. And I think you're right. Like, that's the balance. It can't just be action all the time. Like, you have to feel something for the characters. And I'm not saying like it has to be completely three dimensional, but like even on a two dimensional level, the characters really work because they are tropes. Like, you got to rely on that in an action movie because you don't have time to establish them as full 3D models, but it does it really well because they're likable and they fit into certain archetypes of action characters, and you hit the ground running and it just works.
But the funny thing is, too, you see the director, Stephen Sommers, he tries to replicate that same formula in movies he does after this. Van Helsing, which I think had a very similar sort of feel and maybe component or texture to it, but it just didn't work the same way. And like G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, another movie, almost the same exact, like if you break down the components of it, he tried to do the same sort of thing in like a different setting, and he just never managed to get. He's almost like, I don't know how to explain it. He's like if like a baker made the perfect recipe for a cookie, but didn't write down the ingredients for it, right? And just like he never remembered how to make that exact same perfect mix again. He just could never replicate it because it just, that's just The Mummy to me. It's just, it's exactly perfect for what it is and is never trying to be anything more, but is like the exact best version of what it could have been.
Well, like even the scene where she shows the cat to Imhotep, right? And he's like, kissing her and had the weird mouth thing going on.
Yeah.
And he shows the cat and then he like starts screaming and then explodes into dust. It's like, if you watch that without context, you would be like, this is a very ridiculous scene, but it's like, it's funny within it works within the framework of the movie. Cause it, again, it doesn't take itself too seriously. They still acknowledge the concept of what is going on to be ridiculous. It's a fantasy action adventure movie. Let's just keep adding words onto the genre. And that's the charm. I feel like when they go to remake these movies and they're streamlined for this modern sensibility where they feel like they need to establish like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde's character into The Mummy 2017, like all the soul and charm, as much soul and charm you can put into an $80 million Hollywood movie in 1999. Let's like keep it real. This isn't exactly like, I'm not saying this is an independent project, but it just gets stripped mined away for some of the factors that I think, aren't as good in trying to like play into the more like establishing the cinematic universe parts of like the 2017 one, instead of like, let's just make a real fun standalone movie. And if it works, we'll make a second one.
I like how you point out that scene though, with the cat, because something I just always think about with this movie is that the special effects are just bad and they're not like fantastic, but I think they held up better than I remembered. And I think in certain scenes it stood out because the mummy design is inherently scary before he gets his skin on or whatever. But I think what was even scarier was the scarab beetles and the way that they like ate into the person's skin. I forgot how actually scary that really was, because like you can almost feel, especially when the prison warden guy has the one like crawl up through his shoe and like into his chest and he's trying to hit it and shit. Like that's actually scary. And I really did like, I forgot some of the tension they're able to build with dumb stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. And you know, I agree. So first off, I completely agree. Like it is scary. And I mean, the special effects obviously are aged. It's 20 years ago. And in the last 20 years, everything kind of increases at an exponential rate in terms of the refinement of the special effects. And, $15 million of the $80 million budget was dedicated to special effects. And at the time, this was like a big selling point of the movie and it was really cool. But it is also one of those things where you do see it and you're like, yeah, this isn't great, but you got to just put yourself in the, you got to take yourself back to the time. I'm not going to take points away from it, but there were things that did look kind of like funky too.
I did find some trivia on The Mummy that I found. Ooh. On the Mummy Wikipedia, which is called, let's, by the way, it's called the Rickipedia. The Mummy.
Oh,
it's so cool. The Rickipedia is awesome.
Sounds like an episode of Rick and Morty. Delivers,
because you would expect it to be the Mummypedia.
Yep. Exactly. That's what I thought it would be too. But the Wikipedia is so perfect. I love that.
That's satisfying.
So this, you know, the scene near the beginning of the movie where Brendan Fraser gets hanged from the thing, like the gallows, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So in that scene, he actually accidentally got hanged because the rope was too tight and he almost died. He blacked out
Jesus. lack of blood pressure, whatever. And yet, like, the medics had to like cut him loose and bring him not back from the death, but like they had to like wake him up and shit. The plane used by that old World War One pilot in the movie is the same exact one that they used in The Last Crusade, which is like maybe a little callback to the fact that it is kind of like in that same vibe, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, like there are obviously direct parallels to Indiana Jones in this movie, right? But with the general time period and kind of the lead character, that's undeniable. Like, I don't know if it's a direct homage or if it's trying to capitalize off of the Indiana Jones vibe. I don't know, but it's different enough. It's different enough in setting, different enough in like actual character to that it works. But it's, you know, you're watching it and like it is. It is an Indiana Jones inspired movie, like Jeff said. I think Jeff said that.
Not that all movies, like I know that an action adventure movies, you're going to typically get the Indiana Jones comparison. My point being that, like, it's funny to read a review about the movie not being as consequential back then, or impactful, or bringing like a moment right to culture. But it's a movie that does frequently get brought up when you watch an action adventure. Like, yes, they'll always say the Indiana Jones first, but if they keep going, it's usually the Mummy next.
Mm-hmm. For good reason, man. It's earned its place here. Like, because it did have this resonance with people, not only, I think, from people who were of age when they watched that, or like when they're kids, when they watched it, like us, but like people who like later on watched it and they're like, I can get behind Rick O'Connell, who can't get behind a lovable himbo. You know what I mean? And his feature role. That's just a role people love. And, I don't know, man. I think a lot of parallels from Indiana Jones, but it also managed to carve out its own thing. But also that one time period, I think 1920 to 1939, ideal setting for an action adventure. If you're going to go and find some sort of hidden relic or something involving the occult, do it in that time period. And I'm sold. I will be there buying front row tickets to that picture. I can promise you that.
I'm going back and I'm actually thinking, because like 1999 is a very famously great year for movies, right? Like,
let's do a look at what can
movie rankings done that. Yeah, there you go.
At 1999, and we'll do our average.
The interesting part about this movie is it was released just a week before The Phantom Menace, and it still made $416 million.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Big movies that year, our top rated. Prince of Mononoke, The Iron Giant, Toy Story 2. Toy Story 2 coming out in 1999 is... Toy Story's release years are wild to me. I don't know what it is, because I think I remember it so vividly that even though I was 4 years old, that I remember it vividly seeing that in theaters. Just wild as that long ago. Office Space, The Green Mile, The Sixth Sense, The Insider, The Matrix, Fight Club, Three Kings, American Beauty, Magnolia, South Park, Being John Malkovich, October Sky, Tarzan, The Hurricane, Galaxy Quest, Notting Hill, Election, Big Daddy, Love and Basketball, Eyes Wide Shut, Blair Witch Project. I was going to stop, and then it's like Dogma, Billy Madison, American Pie, The Mummy, Cider House Rules, 10 Things. I mean, like, even the movies that are in like the 70s for us, Spy Who Shagged Me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it's crazy. Mystery Men. It was Hell Mystery yeah. Men.
Cruel Intentions, sneaky, not bad movie.
It was a fucking great year for movies.
Deep Blue Sea, 99. Damn. Varsity Blues.
I think there's been a lot of deconstruction of that late 90s, pre-9/11 period in terms of, you know, like us talking about the Woodstock documentary goes back to that too, of just the media around there. And like, I don't know what contributes to the explosion of like memorable or great movies during that time period, but part of me wrestles with the fact that that's just when I was 15. So of course I'm going to remember it a lot, but it's nice that other people might feel that way just in terms of looking back on the ratings and what's been released. But like a lot of it feels like the, you know, there was kind of still this like late 90s optimism from this year of economic prosperity or whatever you want to call it from the 90s in total. And that kind of funneled its way into like this last gasp between that and like this Y2K vibe that took over. I don't want to overanalyze it, but it is kind of fun to think about.
You know what else came out in 99, Trill? One of your all-time favorites, Wild Wild West.
South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut.
Well, yes, but the last South Park movie between now and the 20 that they're going to make in the future. But Wild Wild West came out that year, and I saw recently a clip where Will Smith was talking about how they always joke about him not taking the role of the Matrix and taking Wild Wild West instead. And apparently, and I didn't know this, this is because the pitch the Wachowskis gave him for the movie was apparently very bad. Like, they manually, both of them, tried to like pitch show him how the action would work. Like, yeah, dude, so it's going to be like slow motion. You're going to jump up in the air and be like, and we're going to have like 180 degree angle cameras. It's going to look sick. And like, he was just like, this sounds terrible. And then he picked Wild Wild West because he could do his own music on it. And it all worked out for the best, I think, but still.
Yeah, I rewatched. Did I text you guys when I rewatched Wild Wild West? And my big takeaway from rewatching Wild Wild West is that it's a low key, very horny movie.
Very. There's like 20 minutes, no longer than that. Like a whole act they spent in a brothel. No.
Yeah, it might be high key. I don't know, but I didn't remember it that way because I just maybe didn't pick up on it the same way I do now. But it goes back to like. Even that was released June 30, 1999, and that made $222 million. So The Mummy made $400 million. A week later, The Phantom Menace made $1 billion. It's so like, I'm just so used to now, it seems like there's one big quarterly movie event that everything just kind of orbits around, and that makes $1 billion, and everything else maybe makes like 100. I don't know the true economics of it, but it does seem like a different time. Maybe you could say like, you know, people were just generally going to movies more because there was less ways to consume stuff, right? Like you had to go to the movie to see it. And you also like didn't really have new entertainment the same way you have now being released to streaming platforms or on demand as available. And I'm sure box office like receipts, like adjusted for whatever, you know, amount, whatever you need to adjust for might show that. But it is like kind of weird to go back and actually look at the numbers. Cause I just like, you would think like The Mummy would make $400 million. It'd make $100 million the next week. And then everybody would give up and go see The Phantom Menace. The people kept going back for more Mummy at 2:13 a.m.
Mm-hmm. They're like, I'm only here to see Phantom Menace for a reason, an excuse to sneak into The Mummy after.
It's the virgin Phantom Menace enjoyer versus the Chad seeing Mummy 18 times.
There's an old comic in Star Wars Insider. There's people in line for Star Wars and they're like, oh, they're going to see the star. Like, how are they getting in the theater before us? It was stormtroopers. And then they turn and they're wearing like red noses. And they're like, oh, they're going to see Patch Adams. Good, great Star Wars. You're like good chuckle as a Star Wars fan. Final score, Trill. What's the score from you? 70 for me, 81 for Ken Jack.
I give it an 85. Yeah. And I know we didn't talk a whole lot about the movie, but I think it's more interesting to look at The Mummy and kind of where it fits in and how I think the perception of The Mummy has improved throughout the years, like you're leading on to, Jeff. I think there's been a critical reevaluation of The Mummy and it's been viewed in a more favorable light, especially after the latest piece of shit Mummy movie was released.
Thanks for bringing me back to life, dude. Oh, unbelievable.
Jesus Christ. That's it. Our next review is going to be Candyman on Sunday. Cannot fucking wait.
Fuck it. That's a big one. That was like my top anticipated movie of the year. Yeah. I don't know if we did that ranking, but it was one of them. It was one of 15.
So yeah, we're going to do that. All right. as my allergies cripple my body, I'm going to now drink 18 energy drinks. Only sips.
So yeah, it's 9:30 where we're recording right now, I must add. So we can only sippeth.
Yeah. So I'm going to put ratings on them and then those be my rankings.
Okay. Give them the swirl. Give them the sommelier swirl.
Yeah. So Ken Jack, if you've tried them, give your thoughts. And then we'll do a rankings at the end. There's two I already have rated that I don't have in front of me. Cheryl, pick one up first, and if I have the same one as you, I'll match you.
Let's start with the Control, the monster Control, classic.
The green monster.
The green monster classic. A lot of mine are zero sugar. Some aren't. but I had to get the original Monster, and I've actually never tried the original Green Monster before.
Oh, okay.
I've had the Blue Monster.
Ready? You want to go individually? The top.
Okay. Here, let's do it.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Okay. Monster. This is the original Monster.
That's the. I mean, it tastes very similar to the low sugar Monster. I think it's a good taste. I think it's a good starting point for energy drinks.
Okay.
The taste of it now just makes me think of it tastes green to me.
This tastes like something that I need to be dropping a shot of liquor into. As a man who likes that type of a drink, a novelty drink. Okay, so the Monster. All right, that's the control.
Okay, so I probably would give that about a 70 just as a baseline point. So I'm going to use the original Monster as a baseline for what I'm tasting from here.
Yeah, I'm going to say a 70 as well, actually. Yeah, okay. Next up.
You want to continue in the Monster family?
Yeah, you pull. If I have it, I'll match you.
Okay, so I have the Purple Monster. Do you have Monster?
The Purple Monster. This is the one that people love, right?
They always have those around our office for some reason. I think they have like a shipment there. Oh, they're delish.
I think it's less carbonated. It feels less carbonated from the pop than the
original.
Definitely
a little juicy compared to the other ones.
I don't like it. It's too purple. It's too... I don't want to say...
Lack of a pop matters, by the way. But Oh, that's good. Oh,
you like that? Oh, I don't like that.
That's good. I've never, so I don't drink energy drinks. Again, if I'm drinking an energy drink, it's me chugging it out of the bottom of a glass as I drop something into it. I don't like energy drinks. Aftertaste, tough, actually. Liking it less.
It doesn't have the same sizzle, the same carbonation that the original Monster has, but also this is a zero sugar. This is a light version.
Correct me if I'm wrong. That's supposed to, people say it tastes like a Pixie stick.
It does. I almost wanted to say it tasted medicinal, but I like medicinal taste. This isn't medicinal. This is just almost like it's almost like too purple, too gray.
The aftertaste is bad.
Well, you got to take the good with the bad with these energy drinks, because a lot of them are going to leave a bad aftertaste in your mouth.
That aspartame feel, especially the zero sugar ones, which you're very accustomed to, Trill.
Yes.
I'm going to say 75, though. Actually, I'm not going to reveal my scores. I'll give my thoughts, and then we'll do a ranking at the end. All right, okay. What's up next?
I'm going to give that... Here, let me get my notepad out. I'm going to record these for fun.
Austerity. Here, I'll record them. I got nothing better to do.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I would probably give that... I don't like it. I'd probably give it a 40.
But you like it, Ken Jack.
Yeah, they're in the office all the time. I like them a lot.
Yeah, okay. Also, you weren't in today because you're sick. We had Quest bars today.
Damn, missed out. I actually have like 20 different. When they had a big sale on Amazon, cabinets right now stocked out with Quest bars. Like you would not believe.
This is where I need to add that all of my drinks are warm. Okay.
Yeah, mine are definitely not as cold as they were.
This whole experiment is tainted.
Mine are cold.
Is tainted, dude.
Well. I'm going with the Ultra Paradise. It is the green can, not to be confused with like the green claw. This is the green can. Do you have the Ultra Paradise?
I don't. So what I'll do is I'll drink something else that you don't have. I have Mountain Dew Rise.
Oh, those are rough.
Strawberry Melon Spark Mountain Dew Rise Energy says immune support, mental boost.
Mountain Dew makes a different one.
It's got the stuff you crave, the plants crave, or whatever.
They do something called Mountain Dew Game Fuel or something? Yeah. Like that stuff. I used to drink that in college before like finals and shit, and for studying, it keeps you up like you would not believe.
Okay, Ultra Paradise is pretty good. It's not great, but it has I don't know exactly what it tastes like. The can copy says, "Where's paradise? A chalet on the slopes, a streamside ranch, or a penthouse in the city? How about a private island with white sand beach, turquoise water, and a gentle tropical breeze? Monster Ultra Paradise. Pure, crisp, invigorating island flavors." So I devolved into Macho Man when I was doing that. That's what happens when you read this shitty copy on the side of the cans. This doesn't have a real taste. It tastes like...
Doesn't taste like, I like pear.
It's a 60. It might have some pear notes in it. It might have some apple.
Some pear notes. Small Yang energy drinks.
It might have some apple notes.
Earthiness to it. Yeah.
Okay. Mountain Dew Rise. It says caffeine equal to approximately 2 cups of coffee, 5% juice, 0 gram added sugar, zinc, and vitamins A and C, antioxidants. I want to take a sip of this. This is strawberry melon spark. Oh,
those are rough.
Oh,
yeah. See those.
That's like somebody, you know when you suck on a lollipop and up and you have just that lollipop spit.
Mm-hmm.
That's like drinking. That's like someone spit from a blow pop. Ugh.
Well, what I feel with the Monster, not the Monster, the Mountain Dew line of energy drinks is they try to also bring out the Mountain Dew flavor in there and it ruins the whole thing. Like I got to be drinking this strawberry flavor, but you're also got to taste Mountain Dew at the same time and it doesn't work.
Yeah, the Mountain Dew Rise, I'm giving that that's getting a 35.
So I think this is my last Monster right now. This is Monster Juice. So this is a diffusion line, maybe not a diffusion, but a spinoff line of Monster, where the conceit on this one is the Bonsai Pipeline, the world's most famous wave.
What the fuck?
Yeah. In honor of this epic force of nature, we have created Juice Monster Pipeline Punch. So it's called Pipeline Punch, named after the Bonsai Pipeline. And
it's not a skater thing.
No, it's a surfer thing. And I'm willing to bet that not many surfers consulted on making this drink. I feel like the copy is trying to convey a certain lifestyle that when I'm drinking this in an office, I wish I had, but I don't.
Before I forget, there's actually a new Kelly Slater doc on Hulu, which definitely can check out. The king of surfing, our bald king of surfing. Probably the the coolest bald guy alive, Kelly Slater, if not top five.
I'd agree.
This Pipeline Punch is bad. This is a 20. This is not worth. Yeah, it tastes
Pipeline Punch.
It's passion fruit, orange, and guava. I almost think the more you can stay away from actual fruit flavors in these energy drinks,
yes,
the better off you are, which is why I have a few Bang energy drinks where I think Bang has been successful is they're just like Sour Patch Kids flavor.
Dude, yeah. they run her in the periphery of all actual flavors. They don't actually make real, like they do Purple Haze. That's not a real thing, but it's delicious. It's in my opinion, Purple Haze Bang is like the best energy drink there is.
I'm gonna counter with Red Bull, the summer edition, Dragon Fruit.
Oh, I have that. I have that too.
Okay.
So wait, let me make sure this is Dragon Fruit. It's the green can, right?
Yeah.
The taste of Dragon Fruit.
Decent pop. Taste Dragon Fruit.
Oh, I got a compressed pop here. That was.
Oh, the smell is. Give it a smell. Oh, strong.
It actually smells like a mixed drink.
It does. Yeah. Like a really sweet mixed drink.
Oh, that's not good.
Oh, that's heinous. That's my least favorite yet. That's the worst yet. That's getting
give
a 20.
Him a score. 20.
For me, that's a 20. Red Bull Dragon Fruit. That's a 20.
I'm telling you, you cannot take a fruit and make a drink taste energy. Like that. It just does not convert. You have to have a flavor that's like
it's gotta be made up. Twizzlers. It's gotta be like pina colada or something, you know? Yeah, Twizzlers or Starburst, where it's not a real flavor. It's just something. Blue raspberry is a perfect example of that. There's no such thing. You know what I mean?
This almost tastes like a potpourri.
It does. It's got bathroom. This has a bathroom note to it.
It's like you just spray this in your toilet.
All right. Do you have any more of the Red Bulls? Because I got another Red
Bull. No, I don't. Cracker. I'll counter.
What do you?
I'll drink. You'll drink Red Bull. What's the red Red Bull? And I'm gonna drink Triton.
Okay. I don't have Triton. So this is perfect. So the red Red Bull is watermelon, which actually might work because watermelon artificial flavor is pretty good.
All right, I'm going to counter with Triton, an energy drink for the mind and body. It's salted watermelon.
Salted watermelon, in my opinion, is usually bad. Very, very limited taste test, though.
You know, so this is better. This is better than the dragon fruit, but it's still not great. It's not sweet enough, especially for something with 160 calories in it. I'm going to give this one.
Triton is terrible.
Told you, man.
Triton gets a five. It gets a five only because it's not literal diarrhea.
What'd you give yours, Trill?
I'm going to give mine a 40. So it's better than the dragon fruit summer edition, but it's not what I would want out of watermelon flavored Red
Bull.
That's
bad.
You know what I'm saying?
And then I'm going to get mango fruit punch Triton because I got more cans than you.
Okay.
I don't like Triton is so Triton's got to come out with a new thing. That sucks. That's a 10.
I told you, dude.
That's better than the salted watermelon, but the mango's a 10. Triton is big thumbs down. Triton needs to leave the game. Oh.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna take an inventory. You got a palate cleanser and some water. I'm taking an inventory right now. I have 5 bangs. I have 2 rock stars. I have a Celsius and a rain total body fuel.
Let's go. Let's save the bang energy.
Okay. Okay.
I have Rockstar.
Okay. What rock stars do you have?
I have white and original.
Oh, white's the best one.
Okay. They changed the formula on that one. It used to be my favorite.
I love how you know.
No, it went from 5 calories to 25 calories and it still is very good. I think it's the gold standard of the sugar-free energy drink. I have the Rockstar Pure Zero. But it's the fruit punch flavor. So I'll crack that.
I'll do the original Rockstar.
Yeah.
Which I've actually never had.
Oh, simultaneous.
Rockstar is underappreciated in the energy drink game. They've lost too much market share.
Who are they owned by? Are they still owned by? I don't know. Because Coca-Cola owns Monster, right?
You know, that's good. The original Rockstar is fine. That's you know what? I like that better than the Monster original.
I think this Rockstar is going to get a 75. I think the Rockstar, I think they're onto something with their sugar-free drinks. I like the one you had because it doesn't promise a specific taste.
Well, no, so I haven't had the white Rockstar yet.
Mm. Oh, okay. You had
the original.
Original. Okay.
This is the white Rockstar.
I like the white one more. Let's see.
Oh, this is the best one.
Yeah. See,
I could drink this whole can. I won't.
It's the go-to rock star for
Trill Ballins Incorporated.
Men child over the age of 35.
That's an 85.
I have the, I have the Fruit Punch Rockstar Punched, which I think is the counterpart to the Fruit Punch Pure Zero. So this is the full sugar. This is 260 calories per can, so this should be pretty sweet.
Oh, that was a
good one.
That was a good pop.
Okay, this is really good. This is like an 80. I'm you know, maybe my Rockstar bias is coming through, but it doesn't have that, like, everything else tastes like kind of chemically, which some people might like, but the Rockstars taste like actual beverages. They're carbonated.
So the right way. I have to do like a palate cleanse.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to palate cleanse with a bite of a 7-Eleven buffalo chicken taquito that's been sitting behind me now for an hour and 22 minutes.
Hell yeah. This is the lifestyle. This is the energy drink lifestyle.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's great. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Palate has been reset.
So do you have bangs? You have a bang or two.
I have 6 different bang energies.
6 different bangs. I have 5 different bang energies.
And I think I have the purple haze.
Purple haze is the best one.
Okay, let's crack open the purple haze.
Do the purple.
I have froze rose. Do I have purple haze? I might not have purple haze. I have peach.
I don't either.
I have peach mango.
Oh, you guys fucked up.
I have wild and wild watermelon. I have sour heads, blue raz.
I have blue raz.
Let's do the blue raz.
The blue raz. So Kenjack, I've seen you drink plenty of bang energy.
I sure have. I could drink 3 purple haze in a day if I wanted to.
Bang.
I didn't see. So I got every kind that they had, and I did not see Purple Haze at 7-Eleven or
CVS. Sells out. Yeah. If I drink a Bang Energy right now, my piss would come out like fucking neon, dude.
Here's with all the antibiotics
going through my body.
This is the most riveting episode of the show ever. Two of the three hosts are just drinking sips of energy drinks. You know what? I love it, though. There we go.
Oh, is that the Starburst one? That's like their banner flavor. So I don't like it very much, to be honest. But
this is the Blue Raz.
Yeah,
I'm not into that.
Yeah, but like, what's the title name? It's not called Blue Raz, is it?
Yeah, it's Blue Raz.
It's Blue Raz. Yeah.
Oh, which one? Oh, Starburst is a different one.
Blue Raz ain't doing it for me.
I never like Blue Raz as a flavor, though. Is the thing. You know what I mean?
I'm a Blue Raz guy. I think this is a 60. I don't think this is bad, but like, it also
55 for me.
I also don't feel like Bangs are carbonated enough.
Let me rephrase and say that Blue Raz, I think, is good in pre-workout. I don't like it in energy drinks or any other sort of beverage.
Okay. What other? So I'm going to crack open the watermelon Bang, because I already had two watermelon energy drinks. Now, Bang kind of came out of nowhere in the last couple of years.
Yeah, wait, so I'm going to say right now, anyone listening to the pod, stop what you're doing and Google Bang Energy CEO, because he's one of the funniest human beings you'll ever see in your life. He's exactly what you think Bang CEO
is. Do you have Swirly Pop?
No, I don't. I didn't see.
I never had that.
I'm going to pop open Swirly Pop Bang Energy.
Target didn't have any of the exotic Bang flavors. Like,
all right, you try yours.
Okay, this is Wild and Watermelon.
I already feel like shit, by the way. I don't know. They're mixing all the flavors.
I can feel my heart kind of like.
it's the flavor and brand mixing that's getting me. Not good?
No, it's about a 50. It's better than it's better than the watermelon Red Bull.
Swirly Pop, Ken Jack, I wouldn't try it.
Yeah, I'll pass. I know what flavors I like.
What's that supposed to, is that supposed to be like a what's the ice cream pop with the three different flavors on it? The bomb.
Bomb pop.
Bomb. Is that supposed to be a bomb pop?
Wait, no.
That,
is a bomb pop the?
Or is it a swirly pop lollipop? Is that the?
Yeah, like, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Now that's bad. That's actually bad. That's worse than Blue Raz. I'm giving Bang Swirly Pop a 45. I gave Blue Raz a 55.
I think I have to poop. I think this is.
Yeah, that's the diarrhea effect. You're getting like, your body's like, wait, is this supposed to be morning?
Is this the original Bang Star Blast?
Yeah, so that's the one I was talking about. That's the thing. Like, that's supposed to be their flagship. You know what I mean?
All right, let's try that. I'm going to try the flag. Do you have the flagship?
No, I'm going to try the peach mango.
I need to know. I have 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 of these. I feel like shit already. That sounds dramatic, but it's because I think it's the flavor mixing.
I
legitimately might have to order like bread just to like soak all this up. All right, this is the Star Blast. This is their control flavor. Oh, that's not good.
You don't like that?
That's what I was saying. I'm not a huge fan of those two. I think for them, Purple Haze.
No.
I like Miami Cola a little bit.
So Bang.
The Star Apple's okay.
All right, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back to the Monster Ultra Paradise.
You're going back?
No, because I thought it tasted similar to the Peach Mango Bang, okay. But they're two completely different flavor profiles. But I feel like in something we already tried, something's very similar to the Peach Mango Bang. You know what? It might be the Monster Juice. Let me try that.
Bang Star Blast gets a 30. That's
it's
awful.
Not that either. Yeah, the peach mango, I think it goes back to the general theory is you just can't straight up name it after a real fruit. Okay, I got Sour Heads.
All right, Bang Sour Heads. You tried that one, Ken Jack?
Is that the sour apple one?
Has to be.
I think so. If I remember correctly, it's okay. But again, I go to the ones that I know I like.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Oh, no. Oh, that is sad. Okay, you know what? It started off bad, but it got better. It's the opposite of all these other energy drinks. It's like the Sour Heads taste comes through.
Oh, yeah, it sits well.
You know what I'm saying? Like you have the initial sip, and then the Sour Heads taste come through. You know, I'm gonna give this a 70. I think this is the best Bang. that
yeah, that's getting so a 70 today. As well. It's the best I've had so far. How many more Bang Energy do you have left?
I have one more. I have the Froze Rose, and then I have two more.
I wish I had that one. I'm going to go with Cotton Candy.
Oh, Froze Rose is actually quite good. Cotton Candy also sneaky good, but only if you like Cotton Candy.
All right, you try the Froze Rose, which I bet is really good.
What if I got a glass and then poured one
don't do every single thing
in here and tried that?
That's what I did with those novelty ones I got at FYE, and it didn't turn out well.
Okay, Froze Rose is pretty good, although it doesn't taste like.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think if you're like a big cotton candy guy, you probably like it.
You're right. I mean, look, it is like drinking cotton candy. Oh, I just got like chest vibrations.
Okay. Got the palpitations, those cotton candy palpitations.
And then the last one, I have Rainbow Unicorn from Bang Energy.
Oh, yeah, I don't have that, but I like that one.
See, I don't like that one very much. What's it even supposed to be? What are the flavors in that?
I don't think it's supposed to have a flavor, which is why I think it's good. It's just like, what is it? You don't think about how it tastes too much or too little like grape. You just go with it.
But that goes to your point you were saying earlier. You can't put it like name a fruit to these things. If you just give it some random fucking two nouns together, I'm more trusting of it.
Bang Cotton Candy gets a 60. It gets a 60. And then Rainbow Unicorn gets a 40. That's bad. That's just. They were like, they made too much of it. And they're like, we got to bottle this. We have to do something with this.
So Froze Rose is actually like a white grape juice energy drink, I think, is where I've landed on. I'm giving it a 65. I'm all out of bangs. I got two more drinks.
All right. I'm going to end with the Zoa because you guys have had Zoa.
It's so bad.
What do you have?
I'm gonna try what I consider to be the healthy energy drink, which is the Celsius.
Dude, Celsius sucks, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck Celsius.
All right, let me try it real quick.
Yeah, I don't like Celsius.
Never been a fan.
No, this
big
one.
Big time
this
sponsor this one's, of travel this, influencers.
This one's like a 30. This isn't good. This is the sparkling orange, which
orange is not a good energy drink flavor.
No. Yeah, you're right. It's too harsh. Although this one, like, I do like the carbonation of this one. It's not enough to make up for the lack of flavor.
I'm going to try Rain White Gummy Bear.
All right. I'm going to drink the Rain Melon Mania.
I don't have that one.
This is such a fucking stupid segment.
That's not stupid. Bottom five thing we've ever done on this show, but I'm enjoying it.
This is so fun. I'm having fun. I don't care.
That's not good. The Rain White Gummy's real bad. That's a 15. What about your Rain?
It's about a 45. Look, this is the third melon. I don't know why I have so many melon energy drinks today, but this is the third one. Because I have the Rain, and then I have the Bang, and then I had the Red Bull. And I'd probably rate it, the Bang is the best, the Rain is the second, and the Red Bull was the worst melon flavor. And I'm out.
You're out of everything?
Yeah, because I want you to have a Zoa now. Because this is what everybody's waiting
rain,
for.
Rain, cherry, limeade, really quickly.
We got another Rain, okay.
Rain, cherry, limeade.
It's probably pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Rain cherry limeade. That gets a aftertaste tough. That gets a 60. Rain orange dreamsicle. I have really high hopes for this one.
That might break the orange theory. No pun intended to the name of the workout thing. But the dreamsicle might add.
Yeah, but that's different. That. You get cream to the equation, everything changes.
Rain orange dreamsicle. That's disappointing. 65. It's actually not the worst, but I thought it'd be better. All right, here we go. Last
Rain. By the way, Rain has 300.
I have four Zoas.
Okay.
Here we go.
Jesus. Save the organic one for last, like the one where it's like no sugar or something. It's like a green label on it.
Yeah,
when you that's smell by far it. The worst one. That's that one tastes like butt dick pussy air for sure. You crack it, and that's exactly what you smell.
I have three that say zero sugar.
And there's the one with the green label.
Okay, here's original. Here's original Zoa. This is the Rocks Energy Drink, Healthy Warrior Energy Drink, Immunity Focus Hydration, Body and Energy.
Zoa Tuesdays to go along with Terramana Tuesdays.
Ooh, this sucks. I don't feel well. Yo, what? That tastes like soil.
That is insane.
Really bad.
Smell it. Put your nose up to the can.
Get a whiff
of the Zoa. Yeah,
it smells bad.
Like poop. It smells like poop.
It's so bad. One of the least satisfying cracks too when you open it.
That's unbelievable. Well, maybe that's a zero.
Maybe there's something to be said about the all natural aspect. Maybe you're not drinking it for the taste. Right. Maybe it's a little bit healthier, but.
Wild orange. Yeah, the pop is terrible.
Such a bad pop. It's like hardly carbonated.
Oh.
It's so bad.
I have to do the rest. Super berry. Orange, zero. The smell. Oh my god. The smell is worth the price of admission. That's stunning.
What it smells like, amoxicillin or something.
You know that they
like
got
amoxicillin
that.
Pee.
There's no way he drinks these. It's
no, but
like
not only that, he drinks them in an even worse format, but because he took them out of the can and puts them over ice.
Maybe it's better that way though. Maybe he's on
they
something.
Smell like actual human shit.
I think they smell medicinal. I'll be generous.
That's still not a good. That's not generous.
Just as bad. And the last one, pineapple coconut.
That one's really bad. Give it the whiff.
Excuse me. It smells like coconut and asshole. That's what it smells like. Oh, that's the worst one. That's the worst one. Negative five.
I told you, save the best one for last. It's
oh
so
my
bad.
God.
I don't know why they taste so bad. I want to like it. I want to like it. Like, don't get me wrong. It's.
Oh my god.
Maybe they are healthier. I don't know, but like, in as far as taste goes,
so it's like they pressure cooked it with like chlorine. It's like so.
I actually can't believe, like, all jokes. I can't believe that.
Well, we told you it was bad. You didn't believe us because you can't until you actually taste it. I'm sure there are some people that like it. You know, everybody has different tastes. That's okay. But to me, it's like you do smell and it does smell organic, right? Which makes you think, well, maybe this is a little bit healthier, but it just doesn't. I'm not drinking an energy drink for the health. So maybe I'm not I'm drinking it to get ramped up in the morning.
And not feel guilty about it.
So let's rip through our rankings. I'll say mine real quick. Number five, the Purple Monster, 75 out of 100. Number four, 80 out of 100, Rockstar Original. Number three, 85 out of 100, Rockstar Sugar Free. 85 out of 100, a Red Bull regular. I'm a Red Bull fan. I like it with alcohol. And then 100 out of 100, the number one energy drink. I rip at least one a day, 5-hour energy.
You're a 5-hour guy.
Oh yeah, I'm. We have a small clan of 5-hour people in our office.
So you, Pat, and who else?
Me, Pat, and KB. That's it. Mm-hmm. And I'll sometimes find rogue dollar bills on my desk, and then I'll be missing a 5-hour energy. It's just an exchange we have. So those are my five. Ken Jack, I'll let you go because you had to sit out the taste test. What's your rankings?
Purple Haze Bang is my number one. And I think I'd follow up with Rockstar White, which you talked about. I think Monster White, Ultra White is sneaky good. Red Bull Coconut, which is still limited, but I think it's very, very good. And also there's this one energy drink I had a while back, but haven't seen in a pretty long time. It's called Venom. And I thought it was pretty good. And it's like, that's like, sounds like a made up energy drink for like a sitcom or something, but it was pretty good.
It's M&M's energy drink.
It might be. It honestly could be. I have no idea.
I think my general ratings is the sugar-free rock star, then the sugar-free rock star in the blue can, and then probably the classic monster with the blue claw, and then everything else is just like, look, I feel great shame when drinking all of these, okay? Just because of my advanced age. But I do think the sugar-free rock star, it nails it because you don't know what it tastes like. It has a nice carbonation when it's cold. It gets you up and gets you going in the morning. It's a good balance. I like the C4s too. They make your ears tingle.
We went over this, dude. That's so gross. That's psychopathic behavior to drink the C4 energy drink.
They have one called Twisted Limeade. It's so good.
I feel like shit.
I like to drink one before I go bench Wonder press why. Approximately 185 pounds five times and get tired.
And go back home. Then go shit my pants from the drink you just drank.
Yeah, like my gym time is like 5 minutes of actual workout and 45 minutes of diarrhea.
Yes, that's my favorite guy in the gym trying to consciously hide the splashes of his diarrhea because he drank too much pre-workout.
My favorite part is like every gym bathroom smells the same, and I don't know, like it must be just be a mixture of the same cleaning chemicals used across gyms, but also just the general sweat and dankness of the gyms.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just damp men sweat and poop.
I was in the bathroom. I couldn't fit, actually. I wanted to tell a story the other day, but I had a microphone and internet issues at the Barton Creek Mall in Austin, Texas. And I was in the bathroom and I saw a guy scurry into the bathroom, sit down on the toilet and let out a very loud, like, oh, fuck. And I was like, and I mean, it's, you can't not laugh. Like if you're mildly immature, if a guy drops to the toilet and yells, ah, fuck, and takes a shit, you have to laugh.
That happened.
You have to laugh.
Part of it's because we've all been that guy.
Yeah,
it's like is this your first time, buddy? Like, not mine. I've been you. I've been here before.
He was in fucking Restoration Hardware or wherever with his wife or whoever, significant other, and he was like, I'm gonna shit myself.
The Annie Ann's just hit him the wrong way 35 minutes after eating it.
One time at college, I remember I went in the bathroom and the only person nearby was a janitor, and I was taking shit in the stall, like, and the janitor runs in to take a piss, and I just, he's pissing, and then I just hear him go, he rips ass and gives out the most satisfying sigh. It just goes like, oh, like I cracked up laughing in the stall. It was so bad.
I remember one time I was like in college and I was in the bath, and there were small bathrooms, like three stalls, but like they weren't big stalls. And like I was sick, but it smelled so bad that somebody walked in and goes, and then closed the door and walked out of the bag and made them gag. And I basically like took off my shoes so nobody would recognize me.
They made you like shower off in the bathroom. I don't know, like, if they're allowed, like, to do that.
Nobody needs to find out that this was me.
Yeah. Oh god, that's funny.
That was fun, but disgusting.
You guys are gonna have guts tonight.
It was fun. I've always wanted to do it because energy drinks are pretty.
You've asked for a long time for us to do an energy drink taste test.
Well, you know, it's not the best entertainment, but it is fun. It is fun to talk about products in an elevated manner, like treating energy drinks like they're fine wine.
Mm-hmm.
Except this Froze Rosé, it's literally right there on there.
That's pretty good.
And put it in a glass, swirled around, check out the legs.
Oh. That was...
I need to take a shower, and I didn't even drink any of these energy drinks.
What's got the most caffeine? Bang, do they have 200 milligrams of caffeine? What's going on?
I don't know, but you guys definitely drank at least one full energy drink worth of sips, I would assume.
Well, Bang's got 300 milligrams of caffeine. So Bang and Rain have 300.
It's less about the amount and more about the fact that I mixed 18 flavors, Trill mixed 15.
It's mm-hmm. It's just a lot of the clashes of the artificial flavors. And I think it hurts your brain because it messes with your brain, its receptors in terms of what flavor you're trying to receive.
your brain is just crying. Like, stop. For the love of God, stop.
It's like going to a snow cone place and then just putting one pump of everything in your mouth.
It's true. Just the pure syrup.
Oh. Except in this case, they're almost all sugar-free. So it's just like, it's the syrup plus the sugar-free aspect of the syrup. These energy drinks have me slurring my speech. Which actually is not unusual for any time we go over like 10 o'clock where I just, my brain stops working.
Anyway, thanks for listening to that. That was fun. We will be doing Candyman on Sunday. And we only got three episodes left. So we're going to do a very definitive, declarative rankings or drafts to end it. There'll be one more chain restaurant draft. We'll do one more of like a movie draft, and we'll do a TV maybe. We'll do something out. We'll figure it out.
Ooh, we should do a draft of all the movies we reviewed. It'd be almost impossible to compile.
Movie draft since we started our podcast, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we were able to review some really good ones, so yeah, we can do that. That sucked. It was fun, but I feel like ass now.
You should combine them into a mega shot, I think.
My teeth are hurting.
They just stripped away all the fucking enamel on your teeth.
All the enamel on my teeth has just been burnt off. I'm acting like I haven't actively had at least one per day for the last like 15 years of my life.
Oh my God.
I need to get over it, but it is right. There's something about having the conflicting flavors. It is doing something right now.
We're going to say goodbye when we sign off on the podcast, but you guys are going to say hello later tonight when you both ascend to the fifth dimension.
I'm going to be in terminal dogma with the spear of Longinus.
Yes, exactly. Longinus. Don't you forget it.
Sorry. Did you watch the rebuilds? Oh, you should. They're fantastic.
They are actually.
I loved it. We're talking about Evangelion and all four of the movies spanning, Hideaki Anno, his work from 2007 to 2021. And it's kind of just the culmination of the Evangelion series. And if you never want to watch Ava, like the series itself, I recommend watching the series. But if you want to skip all that and just watch the first movie, it summarizes the general vibe of it pretty good. So that might be a good jumping in point. But I very much enjoyed them.
I'll check them out. I mean, I was going to anyway, but I'll watch them with more haste. That is after Don't Fear the Walking Dead anyway.
The LCL fluid is just bang energy drink. This is why.
Yes, literally. They just encapsulate it and bang.
Shinji!
Son of a bitch.
All right, we need to.
My heart is beating fast, so we're going to end this podcast. For Kenji, I'm Jeff Flo. We'll talk to you next time.
Have a good week at the box office.